Blog Talk Radio.
And I like the music. I love it to invite all the ancestors to join us.
And heads, let us ransom people for all that. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant. The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace. Oh, Yahweh is bringing us power through unity. Where
everybody, and we're going to have a special guest tonight. Sabora Jackson is joining us, and I did see her in the studio a minute ago, but she had to leave for a minute, I guess. So welcome, everyone. Tonight we're going to talk about chess, the game of chess, but not just any talk about the game of chess. My guest is an expert on the metaphysical, spiritual elements around the chess game and how it relates to the chakras. So I am so excited to have Sabora Jackson joining us. She actually wrote a book about on this subject. She's an author, I believe. And let me get the name of her book. the book Chakra Systems Overview, Eight Chakra Systems Overview, and she talks about the path of sacred unleashing the energy within. It is an invitation to spiritual seekers, offering them a unique perspective that intertwines the wisdom of the chakras with the strategic beauty of chess. May this book serve as a guiding light. So I'm curious how many of you out there are chess players, and how many of you have watched The Queen's Gambit on Netflix? So we are going to talk about that and more, but this game of chess is really something that many of us are not even involved in. But I have a grandson who is playing chess at the age of 6 years. Since he was 6 years old, he's been playing chess, and he beats me all the time. And I wouldn't say I'm an expert or anything, but I do enjoy the game, and there's so much to learn about this game. So we have Sabora. Queen Sabora is in the house. Good evening, Queen Sabora. How are you?
Hey, guys. Everybody.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. You look gorgeous.
Well, I'm happy and excited for us to be talking about chess and metaphysics tonight. And I think that you probably said you were a chess master. Did I hear that?
That I was a chess master?
You know, I'm just messing with you. I heard you.
My grandson at 6 years old, he might be the chess master.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's like all in the form of the mind, you know. I'm a chess master, I'm a chess
wizard,
and that's what you are.
Yeah, so
how are you doing on this gorgeous kid? How was the beach?
Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. It was a little bit windy, but not too much. I mean, I took a nap on the beach. I walked on the beach. There's a lot of seaweed on the beach right now. Do you go to the beach often in your area?
Oh, my God, the beach is gorgeous. I'm in an area where they have the coral reef, like right under the water. From the outside, you can't see the coral, but they say once you get there and you go down and you put on your snorkel gear, you can see the most amazing sights you've ever seen.
Well, I visited Jupiter one time, and I have to say I wasn't impressed with where the location I went to was not that great, but there must have been a different location. Coral reefs, I would love to visit there.
Oh, you guys come back. You guys come this week to get all together.
Yes.
Do some meditation by the water.
Oh, my.
Do some meditation and do our inner journey.
Yeah, so.
So, Sabora,
I would love to know a little bit about where you started your journey on planet Earth, what city, and what your childhood was like that you became this beautiful queen chess master. Can you hear me? We're hearing clicking on your end.
You are so amazing.
Okay, you are. We weren't hearing you at first.
My journey started in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, California. Okay.
Can I say it one more time?
Yes. Okay, we can't hear you.
Yes. Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles, city of fallen angels. And you're coming in and out, in and out. You're coming in and out.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to see what we can do to adjust because I want you to hear us.
Okay, it's getting better.
We're going to move the phone a little bit so you can hear us.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
That better?
It seems better. Keep going. Now you're sideways.
Okay.
Okay, now we can't hear you. You're sideways. So if you're just joining us, Sabora is adjusting her phone and her camera, and she is coming. She was born in Los Angeles. That's what we got first. So she's a California girl, and that was her first. Turning my head so I can see you because you're sideways. Are you on your phone? You must be on your phone. And we're waiting for Sabora to adjust her camera so we can hear her. And I think she's on. Okay, can you turn your phone? Okay. Okay, you're back. You're back. Okay, now, can you talk? Let me see if we can hear you. We can't hear anything right now. Okay, you're moving. And I'm just looking at this royal purple that Sabora is adorned in. But we're still not able to hear you. You might have to just call in if you can't, but we sure do want to see, and I see you have your chest, so we really want to see and talk and hear you. But right now, all we can do is see you. We can't hear you. You might want to try going out and coming back in. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me? Okay, so Sabora's gone out again, and hopefully when she comes back, we can hear her. In the meantime, I am at the beach, and I've been talking about chess and metaphysics for the last couple of days when I heard about this beautiful sister who is a chess master and a chess instructor. And I'm still waiting to see how many of you out there are actually chess players. So I'm going to open up the mic. Mama AZ has raised her hand. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Sister, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We're waiting for Sabora to come back in because we couldn't hear her. We could see her beautiful face, but we couldn't hear her. So go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay, this is an honor. How I met this queen, this young sister, was York, Malachi York. And she introduced me to his teachings. But this is an honor, Sabora. If you can hear this, because one of my friends that I was going to take chess lessons from, Mr. James White, who was my neighbor in High Point, North Carolina, across the driveway from me, he was a master as well. And before I could get back to him, I was in Arizona receiving my great-grandson, Jaden. And Mr. James White was murdered. And so that stopped that session with him and myself, him teaching me how to do chess, how to play chess. But he was always a protector. He always watched out for me because I was living in the drug neighborhood. And when I think about this little sister, when I found out that she was the creator of these chess boards, these are not your just ordinary chess boards, family, okay? I knew then that this was Mr. James reaching out to me and saying, you got to let this young sister teach you how to play this game before you leave the planet. I swear to God, family, I heard this. But that's not all. Many times, Sabora and I, we would talk about metaphysical things because that's who she is. To me, she's not from this dimension, okay? She never has been, Dr. V. And what I want to say right quick is I thank you for listening and reaching out to this little sister because you are George Norrie. You are Art Bell, meaning you, Dr. V. And for those ones who are listening that are not familiar with those names, George Norrie, I'm talking about Art Bell, Coast to Coast, Billy Carson, those kind of people. And I've always pictured or envisioned Sabora being on their show. But wouldn't you know, Dr. V, she came to your show. And I am so elated because to me, you have the golden hatchet, the investigative hatchet that picks through everything to get down to the bottom of the truth. That's why you and I are sevens. And that's why Sabora, she's on this line today. I believe that. And it's a lot of tall people who are watching this and listening to this particular podcast. So I hope she's back because I can go on and on and on. Dr. V, I'm just so grateful that you are a part of my circle and a part like Sabora. She's always been a part of my life from eons back, keeping me on this planet for the things that are getting ready to unfold, family, that people, a lot of people are not going to want to be on the planet when the truth comes down. That's why so many people are choosing to cross over at this particular time. I mean, it's a lot of people who are leaving the planet. So I give thanks, Dr. V. And what does today add up to?
Oh, you know, I have not looked at that, but I think it's an 8. Let's see, June 4th, that's a 10, so 1 plus, it's an 8. Today is an 8. So we will be moving into new beginnings. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all is in divine order. Even this delay with Sabora, I'm texting her to tell her to just call in because she seems to be having some difficulties with her phone or her computer. I'm not sure. I think she was on her phone. So we're waiting for our guest.
I'd like to interject this. Today is an 8, you said, family? That's Reverend Allen's number. He's a 6. Tells me, and who is not familiar with Reverend Allen, Reverend A.A. Allen, he created Miracle Valley with the help of the ancestors and the Most High. Miracle Valley, Arizona, he has been communicating with me, and my middle name is Lee, but I'm not Lee Carroll, meaning Cryon, okay, family? But I want to say, Reverend A.A. Allen has been communicating with me since 2006. It started in Oklahoma when I went home or to my dad's reservation to do research in Muskogee and Hominy and Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Look it up. What I'm saying is
okay,
that
can you hear me?
Is she back? Is she back?
Yes, you're loud and clear. Mama AZ is on the in the studio talking. So we were just waiting for you. And she was just telling what a special treat it is to have you joining us tonight.
Thank you, Mama AZ, for saving the day for us. I appreciate anything and any words.
Hey, sweetheart.
I love you.
you
are so amazing.
I'm fit to be tied, little sister, okay? And you've got to come to Miracle Valley, Arizona, so we can have our first teaching of chessboard. I don't know anything about it, but I'm having others from the other side communicate with me, and keep in mind, today is an eight. So I'm just so grateful that you felt the need to introduce me to Malachi York. I still have that film that you dug for me. I still got it, baby. I still have it. Thank us. I'll be quiet and listen.
Amazing conversation. Knowledge is being spread around in different areas, and people are waking up to so many different forms and just paths, and people are attracted to different information.
Yes, absolutely. So what attracted you to chess? Was it at a young age, older age? How did you start your journey with chess?
Chess saved my life. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and
till 2 or 3 in the morning watching the next episode, and then I just got so tired I had to go to bed and start over the next day. But yeah, that was such a great, and it was a nice introduction to how some people get involved with the chess game. A little girl like you, your mother taught you, and you just developed. You realize, okay, there's something to this game other than these little pieces on the board. And now what, you're building your own chess boards, is that right?
Yeah, my family helps, my son and my daughter, and kudos to them. They help me, we build all kinds of chess boards. We build 3 of them. I have one right here, but I know if I move the camera, we might be in a situation. But we'll show off some of the different chess boards at the end. Or you can go to my website, sabora.com, and that's SUBBORA.com, and you can see all kinds of chess boards. Building from scratch. I used to teach a shot class, so I learned how to use all kinds of wood tools, and we enjoy the process of not only playing, but actually making really, really beautiful boards.
What? To put certain materials on the chessboard, does that help you win the game better, or what is it? What does the material have to do?
That is a great, great question. People play chess for different reasons. Some people play very competitively. We help people with communication through chess. Chess can teach you patience. It can help you with your memory. It can help you with your cognitive decisions. So when you're actually playing chess, you know you can learn a lot about your opponent because there's a lot of nonverbal communication that happens. So I teach a lot of my clients how to read body language, how to pay attention to, you know, the eye movement that someone is making on the chessboard. So when you use different materials, that just makes it a lot more interesting. Because I grew up playing chess with a regular, you know, white and black board or the red and black board. And my favorite color is purple. So I didn't make these chess pieces, but I love having purple and pink chess pieces.
Okay.
You know, because it gives you a sense of chess can actually be fun. So we make artsy boards, and people always tell us, oh, my God, we have never seen anything like this. We were fortunate enough to go to Essence Fest last year. They picked on my chess board. So we were vendors, and we had, like, a wonderful little booth set up. I had two sponsors, Deer and Cliff, so they helped us to get there. And so many people walked in the booth, and they say, they went to the different chess boards, and the most common thing we heard was, oh, my God, I've never seen any chess board like this. This is fascinating. So we make the world of art, and we make the world of chess, but that way it's not so intimidating. And one of my favorite things is to teach people how to play four-way chess. Because I guess when I was younger, I got to the point where regular chess, two-way chess wasn't interesting enough for me, and I wanted to start putting on four-way chess tournaments. So as a teacher, I started teaching my students four-way chess when they would finish their work. And it was such a success that, you know, it was like, one day we'll go to Florida, we'll start some chess clubs. So we have started the Adventurous Traveling Chess Club, and we have been from here to Arizona to Texas. We've been North Carolina. So we have traveled around and made this a really fun experience.
I am just amazed. You have taken this to a whole nother level. Now, I want to just say, when I started teaching my grandchildren at a very young age, in fact, my granddaughter, I think she started maybe 4 years old, just playing with the pieces. The little horsey and the little queen and the little king and jumping around. Nope, didn't learn. Wow, those are huge. Oh, my goodness. I wish we had had those size. But they learned just to play with the pieces in a childish way. Once my grandson learned how the rules of the game, he wants to make up his own rules now. It's like if things don't go his way. So at eight, he's 6 years old. He'll be seven next week. At his age, He's so strong-willed that he wants to make up his own rules at some point. When he sees he might not be, he wants to change the rules. Have you ever had any children behave like that? Is that unusual behavior?
I mean, I've been teaching chess for years, and I've worked as an independent contractor for the city of West Palm Beach. I did the first chess club there with the Youth Empowerment Center. And one of the things that kind of broke my heart was a lot of kids would come after school because they wanted a meal to eat. They were hungry. So they would feed them, and by the time we finished feeding them, they would just come to chess just to get the meal. Some of them would stay. But get frustrated and throw in their hand that they would make up rules and they would make it more fun. And one of the things that they used to love to do was just stack all the pieces on top of each other. They would stack the pieces on top of each other and, you know, build towers. And I didn't discourage them because I had the type of pieces that didn't break. That was before I started doing 3D printing of pieces. But, I mean, children take sex to another level. The first thing that I teach them is I want you to look at your kingdom, and I want you to give it a fun name. So I had the donut kingdom over here, the pizza kingdom over there, and I would teach them to use the pieces to work together. Just like in your community, just like, you know, in your family, when people actually can work together, it changes the dynamic. You know, the dichotomy of how the game is played or how you interact. And I remember a really wise chess master, his name is James, not James, he said, the only way you lose in chess is because you don't ask for help. And one of the things that a lot of people do on the chessboard, they have favorite pieces, and they kind of, they use different pieces in certain ways because that's what they've been taught. But sometimes you have to learn how to use all of your pieces together, just like a community, just like a tribe. And once you can get to those areas, then you can do your inner journey and work on your inner healing.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Listen, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about teaching the basic skills to either children or adults, because as you said, that's where people sometimes lose interest. They get frustrated or whatever. But we'll be right back with, we're talking to Sabora Jackson, the chess master. We'll be right back.
I'm just learning the game of chess and life myself.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And And we're back. Sephora, are you there? Yeah, we need to maybe come closer to the speaker because someone had a hard time hearing you on the 2-1 on the number. Can you adjust your speaker? Yeah, okay, now we need to see your face better. Camera over.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay. Yeah, move over just a little bit more. No flower. We got more flower in there than you.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. All right. There's the queen. There's the queen. All right.
God is here with me. Thank you, beautiful.
Okay, so we've got Zelda is asking a question. She says she loves those giant pieces. Do people like playing with bigger pieces?
Well, we would go to the library in Boynton Beach, and we make really big chessboards too. So we would set the big boards up for the smaller kids, and we would teach them how to set the board up and then have them race. So they would be racing to put the pieces down on the board, and we call it speed chess. And a lot of times, I notice the little kids love playing with bigger pieces. Yeah.
Wow.
Question. Thank you, beautiful spirit.
That's good to know because as my grandchildren advance, and my grandson is really advancing fast, so it's just a matter of getting him to play by the rules no matter what the challenge we have with him because he doesn't.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
We teach them the rules from the beginning, and we show them a way where you can make it so much fun that. Not only do they want to play by the rules, but it makes the game go by smoother versus when you make up rules while you're playing, that can be a therapy session. But actually, when you're playing to get a goal accomplished, you want to learn and teach how to play by the rules.
Well, of course, because even today I was talking to a friend about politics, okay? There's a guy named Vivek Ramaswamy running for president. And he's just so far above the others as far as debating. And one of the comments on one of his videos was, this guy's not playing chess. He's not playing checkers. He's playing chess. Do you ever compare what's going on in social arena and politics to the chessboard?
You can. Anybody can. And you hear that saying a lot. Like, we're not playing checkers, we're playing chess.
Yeah.
She's not playing checkers, she's playing chess. And I think what they're trying to say is they're not looking at things two-dimensional, they're looking at it three-dimensional or four-dimensional. And one of the main differences between chess and checkers is strategizing. And when you strategize in a way where you set up moves so that your opponent might not have a clue that the next move is checkmate, and it's a little bit more involved, but checkers is still fun, and I think people are where they are and whatever level they are, and when you get into politics, and you get into war, and you get into people that did, and I was loving your show on Cleopatra, even though these debates are where they are, it's so many different levels to them.
Just like
our chakra system, so when you can take the levels of your chakra system and compare it to the 8 rows of chess, from your health to your relationship. To your finances, to the way that you do your hobbies and have fun, you can create a level of strategy to make your life a lot more enjoyable.
Okay, so you said there's 8 rows on the chessboard?
Yeah, 8 rows on both sides.
Okay.
So all together you have 64 squares. You have a grid.
So how do the chakras line up with that? I'm really curious about that.
They do. Every row represents your chakras. We can start with your sacral chakra. And then you have your first row. And usually when we teach people and we do it metaphysically, we show them where they are. Like you do an assessment, like with your aura and your energy and where you're showing up. There's a lot of people in life, mostly want to be loved, and they seek betterment for themselves, even though sometimes people are saying, hey, you know, I want to be the best version of myself. A lot of times people are pushing themselves to be better. So when you set the chess board up and you can show them, hey, in chess you make these goals, one of the best goals you can get is be pushing your pawns forward. Just like with your chakra system, your energy should be moving up your chakra system to your crown chakra and your soul chakra, which is your 8th chakra, which most people don't know about. You do have 8 chakras, and then if you metaphysics. Like, I know I heard you talking about the third dimension, the fourth dimension, and the fifth, but we also have a seventh and an eighth and an 11th dimension. And the further you go up, the brighter your aura gets on certain levels. Just like in chess, the further you go up, the further you can push your strategy. Some people play chess and they don't really move all their pieces around. They just have a certain few that they go out and they push forward and they try to accomplish their goals. And usually the goal in chess is you want to protect your kingdom, especially your king, while capturing your opponent's king. Now, if you're playing four-way chess, you and your partner want to work together so that you can strategize and be in each other's accompaniment and capture either one of the other opponent's kings.
Now, you say that's four-way chess. I don't quite understand how you play. So you're playing four-way chess, not with more than two people.
You can play four-way chess with four people. Yeah.
Really? Okay. How does that work?
Fun.
What? How does that work? So you have two people on each side?
I'm going to show you. I'm going to pull up a four-way chess board really quickly. Venia, can you help me out? I'm going to get a four-way chess board just so I can demonstrate. You have four people that are playing. Two people can work together as a team, and two people, or you can have four different people all going at their own accord.
Mm-hmm.
Can you keep that green chessboard? I'm going to put a chessboard in front of the screen, but it might be kind of big. This is an example of four-way chess.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going in the right direction.
Right. Uh-huh.
So you see how it works? You have four different sides.
Right.
Can you see okay? Can
yeah. 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 You're fine. You're fine. No, you're fine. You stay where you were. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, we can see the board and you fine.
So you have one kingdom right here at the bottom. You have one on the side, and this is a way more complex board. When you set it up so that these two rows are closer, then you go count eight rows in, and just like a regular chess game, you can get your queen back.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah, so that's for more advanced players, right?
I mean, some people are very intimidated by four-way chess, but I assure them that if you can play regular chess, you can play four-way chess. The only two major differences is you have to go on your turn. In regular chess, you go back and forth, and you only look in front of you. But just like in real life, you got to look to the right and to the left and in front of you, and sometimes behind you. And in four-way chess, you got to look to the right and to the left and in front of you, so you're not just going back and forth. And the most difficult part about four-way chess is the best player doesn't always win.
Mm.
And if somebody checks you, the person behind them can checkmate you without you ever having a chance to respond. So those are the major differences.
Wow. Okay, so let's get back to the chakras, because most people don't even think about more than seven chakras. But I realize...
The chakra is your eighth chakra, and it's above your crown chakra, and it's much, much higher up. A lot of times when you can see auras, if you actually look at people in a dark room, you can see like a certain dim light around them. Mm-hmm. And you got to get color coordinated according to, you know, what's going on with you. If a woman is very fertile, her chakra has a lot of purple and gold in it. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you go up the chakra system, it can change based on who's around you, who's close to you. Just like when you play chess, if you move certain pieces to protect other pieces, you know, backing up your pieces, that affects how your gameplay play versus if you just put a piece out there and there's no protection or no backup. And your chakras work together. If you don't have your sacral chakra in order, like if you are really struggling with survivalism and you're kind of stuck in the day-to-day survivalism, it's really hard for your energy to feed from your sacral chakra all the way to your crown chakra or your throat chakra. Sometimes you might have difficulty speaking because everything is blocked in your sacral chakra.
Now, do you have any boards that actually show the chakras on them?
I am working on it. I'm doing a really amazing event on June the 10th at the Third Eye Metaphysical Chakra. stop here in Jupiter, and I'm going to have the chakra board set up. I'm working on it right now. I also have an amazing book that's going to come out and be a counterpart to that, so that people will have a more of a supernatural and spiritual experience.
Okay, so that's next Saturday. Is that the 10th?
This Saturday coming, June the 10th.
Mm-hmm. In Jupiter, Florida.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can get more information coming out on my work, on my website under live workshops. It's called Fast Metaphysics.
Now, is it you? Do you have a book out?
I have a couple books that I'm almost finished. I had to write books when I was in college. But my stat books, I might add more and more information. And, you know, I'm getting away from actually making the boards, which I love doing as an artist. I love putting the pieces together, making them, and doing all the fun stuff in art. And I'm trying to be more studious with the books and give way more spiritual information, because there's not a lot of books out about metaphysical sets. So I've been doing a lot more research. So the books are coming. And I would love if you want to have me on another time, and I'll have all the books. We'll make sure that, you know, your subscribers and your audience get a first-hand peek at these cool books.
So,
Chess Metaphysics, Chess for Your Date Life.
Wow.
The secret journey of chess on the inside of yourself so that you can be the best version of yourself.
But say that again, the sacred journey of chess, going inside of yourself so you can be the best version of yourself. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, I ended up having a fortune of, we have this really cool school bus that we're turning into the Adventure Travel Chess Club, but we lived on 5 acres of land. Someone let us live on their land, and while we were on this land, we had this beautiful fire ceremony, and this woman came through, and she was very spiritual, and later she called me, she said, I want to have private chess lessons with you, and we ended up setting up the chess boards out in the middle of the land, close to this beautiful garden, and oh my God, it was such an amazing thing. She helped me to combine chess and metaphysics, because before that, it was like this concept and idea that I work with people over here, but I never work with them in both arenas, from chess to metaphysics. And she really, really went in on some deep healing and deep blocking, and she showed me, she chose a four-way chessboard to learn on, and in that process, we were able to compare some things of her past life, this life, to her journey and her lessons and how all of them were affecting her now. So during that process, she really helped me to fine-tune how amazing it is to compare your journey. You know, and chess literally is a way of you kind of playing out and mapping out and figuring out things that are going on. And the way that you show up in chess on certain lines directly correlate, like I was saying, about your chakras and how you make decisions and how you actually show up in life. Some people play chess and they don't win and you're really angry, you know, and they don't handle that well. Some people play chess and they don't take it seriously at all. They throw their pieces away, they don't think about it. And one of the things that I find interesting is you can learn about what people value. What pieces are they protecting? Some people play chess, and all they do is protect their queen. They don't let her go out and move around. They make sure that she stays safe. And usually that's a person who, you know, they treasure their mother, you know, their daughters, their wife. They hold on to her, and they kind of keep her, because they don't want anything to happen to her. And I've played chess with a lot of men, and a lot of men, when they lose their queen, they don't want to play chess anymore.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
If you know about chess, you know you have 8 pawns, and any of them can get to the back row, and you can have another queen.
So then do you find those men are rushing that pawn, trying to get it, another queen?
A lot of times, you talk about when they lose their queen, when you say, thank you for the queen, and you say, a lot of times you can see their facial expression just kind of sink, and their jaw tighten. And they don't, it's like the game is no longer the game anymore. Like, I really have seen a lot of them just give up, you know, because nobody ever taught them how to play chess without the queen. They protect it like they would protect the king. The point of chess is to protect the king. He's like the landowner. And the queen, yes, she's the most powerful piece, but the king is the most important. And everybody on the chessboard, they sacrifice for the king. So it's very interesting to watch people look defeated when you take the most powerful piece off the board. But what we were saying at the beginning, if you use your chess pieces as a kingdom, they can really work together and still be successful. You know, just like if you lose the matriarch in your family, your siblings, whoever's around, you can still work together and pick up the pieces. And that's not to say that she's replaceable, but we all have different skill sets and different abilities that we can bring to the table. And if you work together, it's much easier to accomplish goals. That's what I liked about the end of the Queen's Gambit. You know, they were all sitting there working together on the Russian side, trying to figure out, okay, this was a problem yesterday, let's all work together and solve it.
Yeah.
And I found it amazing that finally the United States took up the idea of, hey, let's call her and help her, versus this is an individual sport. Life is not an individual sport. I used to always say it takes a village to raise a child.
That's so cool that you remember the end of the Queen's Gambit, because I was almost in tears too. That it was unity. You know, it's like, and that's what we've been struggling with the last 3 years in our country, if not the whole earth, is unity, and that's why we've been many have been defeated.
Divide and conquer. Those are definitely laws of war. Divide and conquer. I used to ask people, what's the first rule of war? What's the first law of war? And it's knock out your opponent's communication. So if you can't communicate, then it's real hard to work together, you know? So if you're dividing people because of lack of communication, then you got to heads up. Look, you're playing chess, not checkers, you know? So you want to have a whole strategy and plan. And I remember my father used to always say, all this stuff has been planned 20 years in advance. Wars are planned 20 years ahead of time. They plan all the pandemics. They plan all of this stuff 20 years ahead of time. But most of the time, people aren't thinking. They're just looking at what they see. When you play chess, you are really, really exercising your thinking muscles. And it kind of helps you look at things in a very different manner. You know, what's the end goal? So there's not always what you see in the front.
Now, you mentioned your father. Did you come from a two-parent household?
I did. I grew up with my mother and father in Washington, D.C. And like I said, when I got old enough to go to high school, they moved to the Washington, D.C., Maryland line. So, yes, I grew up with my mother and my father. He was a Vietnam veteran. My mother is absolutely brilliant, and she worked for FDIC. So I had a two-parent household. Yes.
And so was your father a college grad too, or?
He ended up graduating later. He got his master's in music and teaching later on in life. My mother started at North Carolina Central. That's where she met my father. She won competitions in architecture when she was in high school. But when she got pregnant with me her first year, she dropped out.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two brothers,
okay.
And they both love chess, absolutely.
Of course.
I think one of them, maybe both of them, could probably beat me, but I haven't tested it, so I don't know.
Oh, that's cool. Now, does anybody in your family or anyone make money from playing chess?
I have asked my son a couple times. He is brilliant, so I make jokes and call him a little chess head. But he follows the tournaments. He actually knows what's going on in the chess world. Where I'm seriously being an artist making chess boards. I have mentioned to him that it would be a good idea for him to consider it. But we make money by teaching people chess, making chess boards, and doing chess parties and making chess fun. But from the professional side of chess, no one pursued it. I have a kind of sad story on my side. And I never went that way. But saying I was undefeated and I was with a high school team where my teammates didn't score high enough, we weren't able to compete in the nationals. So it was heartbreaking. The chess federation wrote me personally and they said, we were really sorry that your team didn't score high enough. But many, many people wanted to play me in chess. But because you have to score a certain amount in high school with your team. It's like you have to follow those particular rules. So I kind of lost interest, and then I picked up four-way chess.
So you're more challenged with four-way chess now than regular?
I mean, I love four-way chess. I mean, it makes you think in a way that it is a lot more similar. So, like, life isn't always fair. Life throws you curveballs from the right to the left. And regular chess, one of the things that I guess I lost interest in, most of the people I would play with would memorize games. And me being an artist, I like to think. So I've never in my life memorized a chess game, but most people who get to a certain level of chess, they memorize winning games, and they're kind of moving the pieces. So if you're an abstract thinker, your game isn't quite familiar to them because you're thinking and making moves. Versus four-way chess, it's a whole nother experience.
Okay, so are you ever too young to learn four-way chess?
You are never too young or too old to play chess. I have like a ladies group. I'll be like ladies night and at all ages, you know. I've had some 3-year-olds, but most of the time, again, we're back to stacking up pieces on top of each other because that's fun. And sometimes just letting them play with the pieces, I don't get upset about it, you know, because they role play. They'll take the pieces and start talking to each other. And it's fascinating to watch, but some people are very serious about chess, and they teach their children at a very young age. In different countries, they have schools, so if your family doesn't get you into this chess school, then that kind of is a strike on your character. And I believe I heard in Broward County, they started making chess an actual credential in order to graduate from high school. Like, you have to have one credit of chess. They made it mandatory.
Wow. In Brevard County? So that's the Miami area, right?
Broward is before Miami. That's like Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, so you're talking about in Broward County.
Broward County has made chess mandatory to take in public schools. And one of the things that we started doing in our in the Boynton Beach Library, because I was there in chess course and I did a chess lesson, this young lady walked up to the front very boldly, and she was like, I'd like to check out one of Sabora's chess boards. And the librarian said, we're working on getting her boards in the library. So we're doing like a library initiative so that people can check the boards out, put them in circulation. And in that way, they can have an experience that's like no other, because these are definitely not plain chess boards. They're very artistic. A lot of people say they're really interesting to look at because, you know, now you can get a lot more young ladies involved with the pretty colors. And get people who have, you know, autism or different things that wouldn't normally sit to play chess. They have something more to look at now.
Wow, we have a comment from Laurel.
Hello.
She says, I love the analogy to chakras and four-way chess. So there you've got a new fan to four-way chess.
If you all message me or text me or, you know, send me on my subscriber on my page, I'll give you a complimentary, you know, PDF of the chest and the chakras when it comes out, which will be this Saturday. So if you just subscribe, I'll send you a PDF of our, you know, chest and chakra metaphysical book.
Okay, so how do they contact you again?
So all you have to do is go to Sabora, SUBBORA, and just click subscribe on my website. And it should be under about. Okay? And I'll make sure this, probably Sunday to Saturday, I'll be giving them out. But Saturday or Sunday, I'll make sure that you get a book. That way you can really, we can deep dive into how all the chakras relate to the chessboard, because it's such a fascinating journey, especially if you're on your healing journey. You know, if we got anybody in the audience, because I've been on my healing journey for over 5 years, and it's such a path that's not chosen, you know. So when you're working through healing, you want to work with whatever tools that you can get, and a lot of times they start in the mind. You know, our thoughts create our reality. The things that we think about from our childhood trauma, you know, they can create blocks that you can kind of push through just like you can push through on a chessboard.
Okay.
So I would love to help anybody who's interested in that.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to give you some challenges on that topic, traumas, childhood traumas. And
we can definitely talk about it. I have worked with a lot of people with that.
Oh, that's fascinating. We're going to give you some examples and maybe help people see the value of working with chess boards and games to heal some of the childhood trauma. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I use art and chess in that way because you're not just talking to a person, you're getting it out on something else. You have an object that you can kind of work through.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, you got to take a break. So we can talk about childhood trauma and chess and moving blocks.
Okay, that's pretty advanced, but we're going to jump in and see what we can do. Okay, we'll be right back. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Sabora Jackson of Jupiter, Florida, and she's the chess master in on every level. Let's just put it out there. So,
Hallelujah.
All right, that's good, too. Student of life and chess for a lifetime, right? All right. So Naima Latif is in the studio, and she's going to play our next commercial, and we'll be right back with some more exciting dives into chess.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks, and thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day, and thanks for listening.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato. Thank you for joining us. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Sabora Jackson of Jupiter, Florida, And she's been traveling a lot all over the world. Maybe have you traveled to Europe at all?
I have not. And most I've done in Mexico, and they really wasn't trying to let me and not mine back in the country. So, but I want to. I definitely want to travel all over.
But you're staying busy here in the United States, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you're teaching that chess can be used as a therapy for childhood traumas, and I imagine relationship challenges.
Well, absolutely, relationships. We do date night. I have my date night will never be the same. Chess edition.
What?
That hurts. Yes.
So, are you helping women and men find the right partner through this?
I'm helping them communicate.
Okay, communicate. Okay.
Communication is very important in a relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of times, miscommunication is what leads to
divorce.
The deterioration of, because once people get to a certain phase of their relationship, they stop communicating, they stop talking. And then that leads to this, and that leads to that. Are you sleepy? And then people are now.
I am blown away by all this. What I wanted to share with you was that my husband and I my ex-husband and I divorced after almost 40 years of marriage because of a lack of communication. And when they say, irreconcilable differences, it's usually that you can't resolve your conflicts and with communication. So how in the world does chess help with that type of challenge?
In so many ways, it's something to help with communication because usually you have one person that's better at chess than the other person, right? Just because somebody is better doesn't mean that other person can't catch up and surpass them. I've taught many women how to be their husband and boyfriend at chess by showing them certain moves. And it's like a lot of times, many women through life are just taught different. Men are taught to be aggressive and be their masculine energy and go get it. A lot of women are taught to sit back and, be in their feminine energy. But the world has changed, so now we have men in their feminine energy and women in their masculine energy. But in that game of chess, one of the most interesting things that transpires is it comes a point in that game where somebody might really be willing. And just because they're winning doesn't mean they're actually going to win. And how people handle winning and losing, it almost creates a whole nother, either a bond or pushes them away. So some people play chess and they look at each other like partners and teammates, even though they're on opposite ends of that chessboard, they still care that you're making good decisions, you're making good moves, you're making good follow-ups. And they kind of can be your support system and push you through that game. And some people want to watch you fail. And if they want to watch you fail and lose on that chessboard, that's probably going on in a relationship. So it's like when you can work with a couple and show them how important it is to be a support system for each other, win, lose, or draw, you're creating a bond, and a bond is where communication finds a safe place.
Are you talking young couples, old couples, or all different ages?
I mean, a lot of older couples, they have figured it out. And a lot of them have decided that being an individual helps their relationship grow. Young couples are having fun on the chessboard. But this one lady, her name was Flower, she told me that her mother would put on a really sexy outfit and have some wine, and she would be like, I'm not going to date you unless you can beat me at chess.
What?
And the idea behind it like blew my mind, because when she was telling me about this, she didn't know that I played chess. I was like, wow, I mean, my life is so opposite. But she ended up telling me that her mother said, this isn't my words, her mother was like, if a man can beat you at chess, he can outthink you. If he can outthink you, he can out problem solve you. And if he can out problem solve you, therefore he can take care of you. And I was just like, what? Like, wait, really?
Okay.
And it was such a mind concept that I was like, wow, couples in chess. But that was a standard for her. Like, you can't date me unless you can beat me in chess. But that was, how she operated her life. And based on it being a mental connection. And think about how distracting a sexy dress and a woman is sitting across the chessboard with the whole idea of lure and seduction. So I have a chess and seduction book that I'm working on, too. So I'm going to let you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So that man has to be able to focus. Because if you're sitting there with a sexy dress on and, you know, you all done up and you are letting him know, hey, this is what you need to focus on, he might have a hard time focusing.
You're not kidding. Yeah. On the other hand, there are probably some strong-minded men out there who would be more determined to win the game than look at this woman and be tempted and seduced.
Yeah, all of men like that. Men are taught to be competitive.
Yeah.
They love a challenge. So if you got a good match on the board with one right one over here and one right one over here, it keeps it very interesting. So when you do date night, you know, you have a couple of little things to make it a lot more exciting. But again, the basic concept with couples and chess is literally communicating, because a lot of communication takes place non-verbally. So if you're watching a person, you know, in a difficult position and they do certain movements, or they lean over or they put their hand, are you learning their mannerisms for when they go through things? And you see that later on when you are in a different situation in life. So you can already prepare yourself, okay, I need to be over here and be supportive, because they're not handling this well, because I watch them do that on the chessboard. You know, or if they're overconfident and they're just, you know, they're just so aggressive that they just want, like, all they focus on is winning. Is everything okay? Your face is...
No, I'm looking at the studio. We have a caller. Would you like to take a call from one of our listeners?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you have a question for Sabora, the number is 215-383-5863. And when you get into the studio, press 1 and we'll open your mic. So let me see, 773-734, your mic is open.
Well, good evening. Happy Sunday. I'm totally blown away with this topic, number one. Thank you for having it. I have a couple of questions. Thank you again I call her Dr. Sabora. I don't know you. You're just amazing. Okay, this whole concept is new, and I consider myself like a science book metaphysical geek. So this is just... I'm Laurel. Laurel.
Oh, Laurel. Thank you, Laura. I thought you were in Facebook studio, but I'm glad you called. Go ahead with your comment.
Right. I could only hear in Facebook. For some reason, I don't hear on the phones. I had two lines could get on, so I just can't hear on the phone. But I just called in because I wanted to ask two questions. My first question was, one, I've been trying back and forth online to, like, play with the apps and stuff. Where do you suggest someone start with not really knowing? I've tried years ago, and then I just give up on chess. But I want to learn. Where do you suggest a person who's, like, still doesn't know to start? And then secondly, at what age range do you think is good to teach a child, or what level of consciousness you think you should start a child with teaching, learning chess? And that's my questions for today. Thank you.
That's a great question. Don't. It really depends on the temperament of your young person. And when you say, where do you start, are you asking for yourself or for a child? Because I would love to help you with your chess journey. We teach chess, we give private lessons, and I would love to give you a complimentary lesson just because you called it, whether it's for you or your child or whoever. I got you. That sound good?
Okay, she's on back on Facebook. So, Laurel, if you want to answer, I can pass on your number, Sabora, to her, or she, are you her?
Yeah,
number?
Please do. Tell her to call me. I'll be happy to give her a complimentary chess lesson, because I want her to get a good start.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
We make that fun.
Okay, Laurel, if you're okay with that on Facebook, I'll send you Sabora's number, so you can get a good start. That's a great idea, Sabora. Thank you. Because we need people like yourself to make it a very fun, enjoyable time. And for me, it was when my grandchildren were ready to just play with the board, I was like, how do I do this? And I just let them just play with the pieces, playing with the horsies and getting to know. And I started telling them what the pieces were. But that is wonderful that you're taking the time to introduce people to this very important, interesting game. And I would say if you really want to understand some of the depth of it, watch The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. It's like, who would have thought? Okay, let's get into the trauma part, because in that series, the Netflix series, I felt like the one reason she developed an interest in chess because of the trauma she had as a child. What do you say?
I agree, because one of the beautiful things about chess, and there's so many chess movies out, you know, I mean, I'll list a whole bunch of movies, or if you just type chess movies, it's so many beautiful movies out where chess takes people from their environment to something to focus on. And then for me, I probably wouldn't, if I hadn't started playing chess, when you grow up in a really big city, it's so many things that can take you on a whole other journey. And the thing about trauma and her playing is most people don't talk about this, but you really can play chess by yourself. And when you play chess by yourself, you have to focus in a way where you're looking at things from a different perspective. And when you look at trauma from a different perspective, like we were talking metaphysically, a lot of people, if you are going through trauma, sometimes you leave your body, just like when you sleep. And you leave your body because you might be in a lot of pain. You can't handle what's going on. And you're looking at something from a very different perspective. And chess, if you turn the board different ways, you're now looking at it from a whole other perspective. And some perspectives might look very, very intimidating. And then other perspectives might say, hey, you know what? There is a way for me to achieve my goal if I just go this way. And when you're dealing with trauma, a lot of times people are just paralyzing that trauma and put it in a little box in their mind, and they push it down really, really, really far. That's why you have your coping mechanism, your drinking, your sex, your alcohol, your food, every different way that people can think to cope. A lot of times they're not always for healthy coping mechanisms. And with chess, it kind of teaches you, even though I just lost this piece, that I need to cope with it really quickly and come up with another plan. And the thing about chess, a lot of times, there's exchanges going on. Most of the time, you can't play chess without losing pieces. And just because you lose a piece, all is not lost. And just because somebody experiences trauma, all is not lost. And one of the most amazing ways to approach that is to work on that deep, little box that's been locked away and bring it closer to the surface in a gradual way. You know, most pieces on the chessboard, some of them move very rapidly, but those are usually the ones in the back. Your pawns in the front, they're moving two steps forward at the beginning and then one step after that. And with one step at a time, if you get to the back row, you have ability to convert to the most powerful piece on the board. And patience is another thing that chess teaches. I mean, you do have people that play speed chess, you know, and they're just like, and they're moving really quick, they're not thinking, and they enjoy that. It's like, okay, how many things can I, how many pieces can I take? But when you're dealing with trauma, sometimes one trauma might trigger another trauma, you know, and if you can deal with certain things based on who's involved and what happened, you have different levels of trauma. You have some trauma that people snap back from based on their personality, but then you have some trauma that just paralyzes people for weeks and weeks and years, and they never, ever get out of that. And even though a part of their soul journey might be to work on their healing and their trauma, people don't always have the tools, the toolbox, or the coping mechanisms, or the positive reinforcement, or a support system to help them do that. And chess shows you a support system like you've never seen before based on how you set your pieces up every time you move.
There's a question from our Facebook viewer. Can all viewers get a complimentary lesson too?
I would say yeah, but I have no idea how many people are on. How about we do the first give you my phone number, and I got you in a chat lesson because I want you to learn tech. I just won't say yes because it's like, you know, 2 million people because I'm only one of them. I would like for all of you to have some chat lessons. And I do private chat lessons, too, if you're interested. And I also do coaching to help you really get through some blocks.
Okay, so we've got two so far. Laurel and Zelda are Monday morning hosts.
Hi, Zelda. Thank you, Zelda.
And so Zelda or Laurel says she went to your site and left a text message.
All right, I got you. Thank you, beautiful spirit.
So I'll keep a running tab here on those who are requesting a lesson. Me too, me too, because it's a really fun game if you can get the introduction and the lesson down and then get people who want to play with you. My grandson's always ready to beat me, so I'm always ready to learn. So
it's like just because somebody beats you at life, at chess,
yeah.
It's like always look at life and so many different lessons. Like when you're going through life and you're on the journey, it's like your soul contract has lessons, and sometimes those lessons aren't fun, they're not painful, but if we can make those lessons fun and painful, I mean, not painful, you know what I'm trying to say, if we can make those lessons and learn something versus that was just painful and I'm going to shut down, it's like you missed out. And just having time to spend with your grandson and play chess, both of them, you are learning about their personality. I mean, it makes them excited. You're building their confidence. When somebody can play chess really well on the chessboard or decently, it helps them to recognize that they can problem solve. Chess is about problem solving, you know, dealing with your challenges head on and being creative and figuring out a way to do something that you might not be able to see 1, 2, or 3 steps in front of you.
And Zelda says, thanks, Sabora. She's looking forward to her first lesson. Woohoo! Yay! And by the way, Van Dorn says hello. He says he knows you well.
Hi, Van Dorn. I love him. He was my first art teacher mentor, and I love his sacred geometry. I actually was asked to make a sacred geometry chessboard, and I thought about him. So I'm going to reach out and see if we can collaborate like we did before when we both had our artwork up in this beautiful coffee shop. And everybody's like, oh, my God, the artwork is so different, but it works. So hi, Van Dorn. I love you and thank you.
Now, how do you collaborate with someone who's doing sacred geometry and your art in chess? How does that come harmonize and come together?
Van Dorn is an artist. But he is also a master in sacred geometry. His artwork is incredible.
Yeah.
So when you do sacred geometry and you put it on a chessboard, you just combine art for geometry and chess. Like all of the chessboards that we do are RT chessboards. I just started doing healing chessboards with gemstones. So this is a new thing for me, but I'm excited about it. But for a long time, like if you look at the website, most of the chessboards are very artsy. One of my good friends, he said, if whatever you do, we have a chessboard for you. So we make chessboards based on a theme. If you want dragons and butterflies, or you want, you know, unicorns and football players, we can make those chessboards for you based on a theme, based on your favorite color, however you want that chessboard. So if you want to incorporate sacred geometry, we can literally make a board with artwork and then put the actual 64 squares on it and create pieces to match. So that's how we could collaborate.
Now, can you take someone's favorite topic like Marvel Comics and do a chess board with Marvel Comics on it?
I mean, you can. I mean, I don't know that I would make a bunch of them because it might be copyright infringement, but absolutely. I have been asked to make chessboards from good and evil. They want the devil versus the angels. I've been asked to do dragons and unicorns because the girl likes the unicorns and the cats and dogs. So whatever you can think of. I mean, we're artists. So it's fun to be creative and make. Like, you think about it, a chess piece is nothing but a sculpture, you know, and a chessboard is a piece of art that, you know, has a whole nother. This is a sculpture.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. You did that one?
I did not make good steps forward, but we have made some amazing pieces. Like I said, we have 3D printers. So think about, anything that you're excited about as far as creativity.
Yeah.
In the world of art, we make them as artistic steps forward,
Well, it really brings out your creativity.
It's fun.
Once you get the idea of chess as a life lesson and so much more, you can really begin to create whatever journey you're on. So let's talk a little bit about trauma, how the chess game can heal or offer some therapy for those who, for instance, there's a lot of abuse that children go through, whether verbal or physical. And I especially the physical abuse. How do you think you can apply the game of chess to the healing, part of the healing therapy when a child has gone through a lot of abuse?
That is great. I love how you frame that. One of the easiest things that I can think of to respond is chess is kind of a working process, meaning that when you start chess, if you start playing chess today, your chess game is not going to be the same 2 months from now because you're going to improve. And one of the things about trauma is a lot of times people are stagnant. They're not talking about it. They're not dealing with it. It's just kind of stuck over here. But if you put that in a way of chess and you say, I have this young person and they've had this experience, they might not want to talk, but they need something else to think about. And when they start accomplishing things on the chessboard, for example, one of the things that I do with my students is we get to a certain point and they're not winning and I switch the board around. And then that way they have way more pieces than me and I have less pieces. And then I'm looking at it like, wait, there's hope for me. And I'm like, okay, play your best version. And I also do a thing where I let them pick about eight pieces. They can pick their pawns. I don't let them pick their queen. And then I might just have my king on the board. So it gives them a way where the odds aren't always against them, and you show them that, hey, now I have opportunities because she only had one piece, and now I can corner her piece, and I teach them how I do steal the deal. So I teach them how to play the end game of chess. I know for a lot of young people, they don't have enough skills to make it to the end, so they don't have that much experience. So when you can just get them to the end game and give them a small amount of pieces, because you start out with 16 pieces. So if you give them about eight pieces and let them go at it at the end and you only have two pieces, it helps them to understand how the end game works. And just because you have trauma doesn't mean that your life is over. Everybody that's been suicide because they had trauma, they somewhere in their life, they either have a support group to help work through that with them, or they find strength within their own mind to be strong and push forward. And the thing about chess, it really gives you a sense of progression, because you can measure chess against yourself, not always your opponent, and look at your own improvement. I hope I answered that question. Was that a good answer?
Well, yeah, and each case is different because, like you say, some people don't want to talk about those situations. But if they're willing to share and be transparent, then I think that opens up the many ways that you can use the chess game to bring some clarity, some healing, and some peace to the situation. Now, you just said, what did you say? Sometimes you switch to get the board around and let them play your pieces. And is that what you mean?
Yes. I mean, imagine if I've been playing chess for over 1,000 years, right?
Yeah.
If I've been playing chess for over 1,000 years and you've been only playing chess for, 10 minutes, we have a different perspective in our chess game.
Absolutely.
So I might have way too many skills to be playing with chess. But if it starts to get a little dangerous for you, a little difficult, you're like, oh my God, there's no possible way, and you start losing hope, and then I take the board and I pretty much give you all of my assets and I work from where you are, And it gives you a whole other level of strength and excitement to put on, and it creates, again, a different perspective. Chess is about perspective. It's about making decisions. And it's about, going within yourself to realize that, hey, I could work with what I have. And it might not be a lot, but I just watched her switch
That is, you know, I need to have you teach my grandson how to come out of the competitive mode, because there's so much depth to this game. And right now, I guess it's normal for a 6-year-old to think, I just got to beat you.
And I mean, but just like think about the world that we live in. When you have an adult, when you have a child, you know, the adult usually wins in the argument. Okay, I need you to go get down. I need you to sit down. So if they have something that they can do where they can feel powerful and they can win, then it gives them a sense of not only purpose, but a sense of status. And when people have status, they tend to be more excited about pushing through more difficulties versus when we were talking about trauma. If you play a person that's been abused, their body language, their physicality is going to be different. They're not going to sit in that chest for like, yeah, let's go. They might be all hunched over with their hand like this. You know, their body language is going to really reflect where their mind is at, where their spirit is at, where their heart is at. And even though I'm not saying you can see that all the time, and I'm not saying that the student I'm about to mention was in trauma, but I remember I had a student, I was telling him it was very important to look at somebody's eyes on you because they're usually figuring out their moves. And the next time that I gave him a lesson, he put on a hoodie. He had a hoodie, right? And he put it on one, and he read on the board. And I was like, okay, I'll see you with your hoodie. And then I happened to have a hoodie too, so I have my hoodie and I put it on. And we both just sat there with our hoodies on. And I was so impressed because he not only remembered that I said eye movement is important, but he tried to do something to protect himself from me just figuring out his whole game before he finished it.
Wow. Well, listen, we got to take our last break. When we come back, I want to play a virtual game with you and give people an idea of some of the moves that someone like me might make and someone like you might make. Just have a little fun with that, because I think it's just exciting to sit down at a board and then come up and see how it advances. And and like you say, every game is different. And the longer you play, the more you realize how well you're doing, I guess, or how you're advancing with the game.
I mean, a lot of times when people play by themselves, though, they don't necessarily know where they are as far as their levels. I mean, you have some people that are young and they're like chess geniuses. And then you have people that are old and they're chess geniuses. And then you have people that, you know, they'll say, oh, I love the game, but I'm an average player. And sometimes in the world of just chess, depending on how you enjoy it, it's okay to be an average player. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not looking to be an advanced or a great player, but I really want my grandchildren to learn the game and have fun with it and do something with it. And maybe leave college out of their future, because I'm thinking they can do better than college. So anyway, we'll talk about that when we come back. Naima, your mic is open, and we're ready for the last group of commercials.
Mama Joy, and I'm Reverend Rosemary. Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
Let's see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
And we're back. We're in our last half hour. If you have a question for our guest, Sabora Jackson, please press 1 in the studio, and the number is 215-383-5863. And Sabora and I are going to start a, we're winding, we're losing contact or something. I don't know what's going on here. We're going round and round. So we're reconnecting. Okay, we're back. Can you hear me?
I can see you and I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay, so, all right, when we sit down together to play a game, does it matter which pawns you move forward? Or is that like personal choice or from experience?
It's a strategy to it. It's a system to it. A lot of people play chess for years and years. They say, if you can control the center of the board, you can control the game.
Okay.
And one of the things I do is I show my students, like, what the actual each piece can do, how they move, and how they protect each other, and how you can set the pieces up so they can gain the most momentum. Like, most people are going to usually move the center two squares, two spaces forward on their first go. But the thing about it, you can be creative and play chess a lot of different ways, but it depends on what you're trying to gain from that chess game. For example, in college, I remember one of the things that my communication teacher said, what's the purpose of you communicating? When you open your mouth and start talking, are you trying to teach somebody something? Are you trying to persuade them? Are you trying to tear them down? So I could take that same concept and put it on the chessboard. Are you actually trying to win? Are you trying to enjoy the person's company that you're playing with? Do you want to get to know them better? Remember that lady who, I'm not going to date you unless you can beat me at chess. She's using chess as an interview, so to speak. What kind of personality they have.
Yeah.
So that was an amazing question. But if you're playing to win, usually you're moving the middle two pieces forward, two spaces. But the thing about it, one of the things that I'll get, like the second lesson I usually teach my students, every move they make, back up the pieces they're playing forward and tell me what pieces are backing them up. So they learn how each pawn is backed up by a piece at the beginning of the game. The outer pawns are backed up by the rook. And the next pawn, if it goes forward, those two are backed up by the pawn in the back. So you want to set your chessboard up so you're either playing very boldly and outrageously, or you're backing up the pieces because you want to play the longer game in chess. They call it the long game. Some people just play, and they're reckless. I have definitely been called reckless on the chessboard, so I don't know my advice on that part. But I want to say it's just like a communication thing. What are your intentions in that chessboard? Do you just want to spend time with somebody? Are you really trying to win? Because it's plenty of ways to win on that chessboard. But if you're trying to do something a little bit more spiritual, you might play your pieces accordingly.
Wow. Okay. You know, I never see. That's why I'm such a novice with my grandson. He plays chess with people at the Taekwondo recreation center he goes to. So he's probably learning those strategies, and I'm not. I just play when he's ready.
I mean, and that's a beautiful thing because the way that works is you want somebody to play with, and it's important because if you just say, "Nah, I don't want to play you because I'm not winning,"
and he doesn't get to get his little, you know, his status and like, yeah, I won. Like, he might boast and be bragging, like, I beat you again. But you watch when somebody plays like that, eventually they learn the social part, like, how do people interact? And so many people now are just staring at their phones, and they don't know how to actually have a conversation or make eye contact. So if you make eye contact on the dashboard, or you can have a conversation, you're increasing your social skills when a lot of people they hide behind their phones. They, you know, they shrink down and they're comfortable texting, but they're not necessarily comfortable in a social arena. So he's learning a lot of, he's learning a lot of social interaction by playing chess with you. You're teaching him things even though you might feel like you're not winning.
Okay,
he's paying attention to your facial expressions and all kinds of things.
Okay, so then if I move the middle two pieces, what will be your move as a, my opponent?
I'm very aggressive. If I'm teaching somebody chess, then I might play different just to make them feel better.
Yeah.
But I'm going to move my middle piece up too.
Okay.
I'm not going to mirror you. I'm going, my goal at the beginning of chess is just to be outrageous and as crazy as I can. And usually, I'm going to take my queen out early and just clear the board until you take my queen. I'm just going to have fun because I've learned how to play chess without my queen. But I don't play safe chess.
Okay.
If you used to being cautious, then you might not have fun playing me on the chessboard. I'm going to say, why are you so aggressive? Oh, my God. Can I take that move back? Sure, take the move back. It's cool. But, you know, they call it queen trading. If I lose my queen and you lose your queen, let's play some chess.
Okay.
But some people, for real, they really don't feel comfortable
without the queen.
But for me, I like the conversation that happens, and I like to play Faye, so I really like playing chess, and people are trash talking just like Faye. But normally, in a very proper setting, you won't get, you know, a cross-read of Faye and chess. But every now and then, you'll find somebody, and they'll start, you know, trash you while you play chess, and it's fun. But if you're being serious and you're really trying to better yourself, then you want to move your pieces in a way where you take calculated risk. And every time you sacrifice a piece, they call it trading, you know, you trade either up or the equivalent. So each piece has points. So you know that the queen is worth 9 points, the king is priceless, and then they go down. And sometimes when people play chess, they just lose a piece and they don't necessarily think about the value of it. So it's like you're also playing with a value system.
You know, I never thought about that at all. I didn't even know chess pieces had value. See, that's how much. So the pawns are lower value and the
other. No, the lowest value. The queen is 9 points. The king is priceless.
Okay.
I want to say the bishops and the rooks are 5 pieces. The knight, 5 points. The knight is 3 points. And the pawns are 1 point.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, so we're out there. I move forward to, you move forward to, and what would you suggest my next one? You're saying get the queen out at that point, or?
That's what I suggest.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's not comfortable, because again, like imagine, like, you know, you have a business, you have your most valuable asset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our most valuable asset may be my school bus, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I might be a lot more protective with my school bus and just taking it out because I can. Versus in chess, people protect their assets. I don't necessarily play like that, and I don't necessarily teach people like that, because the beautiful thing about chess is a game. You can always restart the pieces. You know, some people say, just like life, you know, think about reincarnation. I know that's another topic, but if you're learning your lessons and you're playing chess,
yeah.
You want to learn, but you don't want to be so prudent that you don't take any risks. You know how you take risk big, win big, but a lot of people sometimes they play very conservative, and there's nothing wrong with it. They want to protect their home front. Some people are very reckless on the chessboard, and they don't really care what pieces they lose. They just try to clear some space and move some things out of the way because their goal is to capture your king. Some people play chess, and they never look at their opponent's king, and I teach my students from the beginning. Always know where your king is and know where your opponent's king is, because that's supposedly the goal of chess. So when you ask me what the next move is, do we pull out our queens? I said yes. I started seeing people that would disagree with me. Like, are you serious? Are you crazy? Like, why? The queen has the most ability on the chessboard to take the most pieces off the chessboard. Yeah. So if you want to clear the queen, don't be scared. Don't play scare chess. You know, bring your queen out, move some pieces, and make sure you strategize to get 4 pawns to the back row. Because if you get 4 pawns to the back row, how many queens is that?
Yeah, that's right. So do you ever move your king? That's another question.
Absolutely. It depends on your opponent.
Yeah.
If you have a really good opponent, you probably will have to move your king.
Okay.
I mean, at the beginning of the game, you have options. If you don't move your king at the beginning and you don't move your rook, then you can do what's called castling. So if you're being attacked from the right, it's probably good to castle on the left where your queen can protect you on the other side. One of the biggest things that I see in chess a lot is a lot of people keep their king trapped.
Yeah.
They keep them trapped in wherever he starts at. And my suggestion, because I'm the type to bring my queen and put it right in front of your king. You know, that's a whole other chess lesson. But the thing about it, if you keep your king trapped with your own pieces, and if somebody's really bold, it's nowhere for your king to go. So if you move space around your king or you move your king, you give him a way out. Because the goal is to trap the king. But a lot of people trap themselves, just like in real life. You know, they say you can be your own best friend or your own worst enemy by being in your own way. You know, think about people's negative self-talk. You know, most of the time we hear ourselves talking. You know, because a lot of us, oh, God is talking to me. But sometimes people say thoughts that are not worthy of them. And they're trapping their own self, and they're not getting out of their own way. And they're not necessarily talking to anybody about it, but they're just sitting there. And then my queen will come along and say, checkmate, you didn't make a way to get yourself out of that situation.
Right. So, and now how important are some of the other pieces, like the bishop and the rook and the knight?
You heard it first here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. My favorite piece is the rook.
Oh, right. Okay.
Watch checkmate with the
rook. Really?
Don't tell anybody you are. With the rook, it goes in a straight line.
Yeah.
And my easiest checkmate is to get both the rooks right beside each other.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
If you get both the rooks right beside each other,
yeah.
If you have the king on the same row, there's nowhere for the king to go.
Okay.
And even more fun, get both your rooks right here. And have the queen beside one of them.
Oh.
That king doesn't have a place to go.
Wow.
But you don't want to get your rook close to the king because the king can take your rook on a diagonal.
Right.
The bishops, if anybody plays checkers, the bishops are just like the kings on a checkerboard. They go to the diagonal and they are, you know, you think about the Mason-Dixon line, you know, you always can go on a diagonal. A diagonal. And the thing about the bishop, some people play with their bishop like I probably play with my rook. But the key to chess is to use all your pieces as a team, you know, because your knight is very important because the queen on the chessboard can do everything that every other piece can do except for the knight. The knight moves in an L shape. So when your knight is moving in an L shape, the king cannot get away from that. And a lot of times when I teach chess, I tell them there's 3 things you can do when somebody calls chess. First thing you can do is move the piece that, by move I mean cash. Cash to the piece that calls chess. If you can take the piece that calls chess, then that's great. The next thing you can do is move a piece in between the king and the piece that calls chess. And then the third thing is to move the king. But when you have a knight and a knight calls chess, can't move anybody in between the knight and the king. And that is a very, people love that. They call it sneaky. You know, they like to be able to, you know, be aggressive. And it's really interesting because you can take this one knight and he'll have access or she'll have access to taking 8 different unique squares.
Yeah.
You can make a person choose between the king, the queen, and a rook. if you put your night in the right place. But the thing about it, when you say, what are the other important pieces, they all have like their own little special powers or superpowers or their own skill set, however you want to phrase it. But when they work together, you create, like we talked about at the beginning, you create a little kingdom. And you want to protect your kingdom just like you want to protect your tribe, just like you want to protect, you know, what's going on in your chakra system. All of it works together. But all of them are important, and they definitely have a beautiful synergy when you can figure out how to move your pieces so that they can help each other and back each other up.
Right. Oh, my goodness. It's so exciting to think about all the different thought patterns in this game, because like you said, you could be thinking about your own life. You can be thinking about the other player. You want to be watching the other player. It keeps you busy. And I always say you got to play defense and offense at the same time, because that's how I have lost and my grandson has lost. He's busy trying to get my king, and he's not defending some of his other players. So I'm thinking, okay, this is really offense and defense as I watch him play. But it's really exciting to think about the different levels that your dimensions, not just the different dimensions that you're in when you're actually looking at the board and the other person.
Yes, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to think about. And it's one of those things where you make it interesting. One of the things I would do with some of my students when they're first starting, I would be like, how do you learn best? Do you want me to take all your pieces or checkmate you really quickly? Look at me really funny, like,
That's crazy.
Some people learn because I just showed you like 20 different ways I can take all your pieces. And some people are like, yeah, okay, right, yeah, take all my pieces. You know, they're just sitting there like, I can't believe I just put all my pieces.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm like, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm really just trying to show you what can be done on a chessboard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you take my rook, though, I might even take all your pieces just to see what last is, but you know.
Yeah.
Not always. Because chess is really about so much more. Like you said, the different dimensions, the body language, the interaction and the socialization of it. Because people are more lonely than ever now. They're more disconnected than ever. And why not have a beautiful board game that makes you feel connected to somebody? When people committing suicide more than ever because they don't feel connected to anyone or anything. Even though they might have 1,000 followers or 20 million followers, it's like that personal connection. People are always interacting. There's so many ways in the world where we can go through our life without just talking to a single human just because of how everything is set up.
Now, have you ever played computer or chess on a computer with someone in a distance, in the city or something?
Absolutely. When I was younger, I used to play Sargon on a computer. And that was before, you know, people started playing a lot on the internet. And I used to play Sargon, and I would play chess by myself, and I would get like 4 or 5 queens. And Sargon started getting more and more and more intelligent. And I was like, oh, man, I really love this. You know, let me keep playing myself so I can, you know, get at least three queens now. You know, my goal would be, okay, I got to get 3 queens on the chessboard with the computer. And I remember when I was in college, I was monitoring a computer lab. And even though I would sit there, nobody would ever come in, so I started playing chess. I kind of was uncomfortable because it was like the beginning of people being social on the internet. And most of the guys I was playing with would start flirting, you know, and I was turning off the thing. And I would be trying to focus on the actual game. But sometimes the intimacy of chess takes us to another level. But to answer your question, yes, it's a lot of fun. Some people have a gym where they play like one move every day. I've never done anything like that, but I have played some of my students online because I moved around and I was in Texas. I went over here and I'm like, no, I want to keep playing. We got it. And I'm like, okay. You know, we have technology, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Yeah.
You want to stay fast.
Yeah.
We just got to set the time, you know,
right,
and coordinate, and we can make it happen. Because every chess, well, not every chess board, but chess is mathematically set up so that you have a grid where you can go from A to H and 1 to 8. And then you can move accordingly. You can write and tell them what moves you're making. If you're doing an old school and sending them the moves in the mail, or if you're doing a new school, they have chess.com. A lot of people play on chess.com, and people have usernames, so they exchange usernames. I personally haven't been playing on chess.com because I really enjoy making chessboards, and I love socializing in person. So I'm way more excited about playing somebody in real life than through the computer.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And that's so needed with these days, that we get together, support one another, have fun, laugh, and smile. Yes.
That's part of it.
Yes.
It doesn't make you fun.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be so serious. It's,
yes,
not the end of the world, but I have realized through life that some people take chess very, very seriously.
And I thanks to you, I'm going to start helping my grandson have more fun by looking at it on different levels, because he tends to just want to get that king and then stick his chest out about it. So go ahead.
I can give you a little plan to help you out, make your chest game, we'll have a little more interest. I'll be happy to do that for you.
Okay, thank you so much. In fact, I might just call you when he shows up. And just to give him some few tips, introduce him to a chess master. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, you know, I told you, I'm a student in life, and I'm a student in chess. Lifelong.
Yeah.
This is going to be a part of my life, and hopefully my legacy, because my young people, they love it too. They play chess too.
Yeah, that's beautiful, beautiful. So give us your contact information one more time, because we're at the end of the show. I can't believe the time went so fast.
You are amazing. You're such a beautiful and gracious host.
Oh, thank you.
My Instagram is Saboraism. It's SUBBORAISM. So Saboraism, and you'll see like a little blonde belly dancing ninja character.
Okay.
You'll see all these cool chess boards.
Okay, sounds good.
And you're mine. My email, you can do Sabora, SUBBORA, gmail.com. And my website, it has my business number. On my website is Sabora.com, which is SUBBORA.com.
Beautiful.
Yes, you are awesome.
You are beautiful, soul, my sister. Thank you so much. One day I'm going to get to Jupiter. I don't know when, but I'm going to stay.
That's on the beach.
Yes.
We're going to go. And I can provide all the boards. If anybody else wants to have a party, we can bring all the boards. And we can bring everything that you need to make your party really different and really fun. And bring some joy and connection.
That's so exciting. All right, all you Chicagoans, don't be afraid to come to Florida despite some of the warnings out there. We're having fun down here. We don't care what color you are. We're just having fun playing chess, right?
Yes, and if anybody needs some spiritual coaching with chess and want to get through some blocks, I'm available for that. Please email me or, you know, contact me on my website.
Oh, thank you. Zelda, please. Okay, please, something. Zelda, I'm going to get pass your number on to Zelda and Laurel. So, and don't forget tomorrow morning, Zelda, to join Zelda at the femalesolution.com and Zelda Monday Morning Mindfulness. All right. Thank you so much, my sister.
Thank you, beautiful spirit. I love you all.
I love you all. All right. You too. Have a good evening and a good week. And we're gonna say goodbye. Happy new moon or full moon too. It's a full moon out there. So we're gonna say goodbye to our global family, and everybody have a good week.
Thank you so much.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie.
Xiexie.
Zanyaba. Japan. Arigato.
Korea.
Kamsahamnida. Russia. Spasiba. Germany. Danke. Poland. Jeong kujung. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt.
Yay.
Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga.
Ngiyabonga.
Jeret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you.
And
may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Namaste. Love you all. Have a great week.